Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a row has broken out in the Dáil between Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty and the Taoiseach over plans for a new bike shed at the National Maternity Hospital. Attempts are ongoing to trace a cyclist who snatched a handbag from a woman in Meath. Concern that Donegal Town Courthouse will remain closed permanently has been raised in the Dáil. And there's calls for the National Parks and Wildlife Service to take immediate steps to fully reopen Glenbey Castle. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. First in news, a row broke out in the Dáil earlier today between Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty and the Taoiseach over plans for a new bike shed at the National Maternity Hospital. Sinn Féin is calling for the plans to be scrapped. A tender has quoted a price of €100,000 for the project. It comes a year after revelations about the Leinster House bike shed, which cost more than €300,000. But Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the government is not responsible for every single project undertaken.
The next time, what I would say to Piers, would you know what you do for us now? Would you go away and design a bike shed?
Thank you, Taoiseach.
And give us the cost now. And we take it away and we'll see what we do. For God's sake, cop yourself on. Cop yourself on.
Attempts are ongoing to trace a cyclist who snatched a handbag from a woman in Meath. She was waiting at a bus stop on Wednesday evening last on Ocht Road at the time. The green handbag contained a quantity of cash and a number of high-value items. Garda Sean Sweeney is appealing for information.
This occurred on Wednesday the 24th September at approximately 9:30pm at the Ocht Road in Meath. A lady was standing at that location waiting on a bus when a male on a bicycle snatched her handbag as he passed by. He continued onwards in the direction of Quigley's Point. He was wearing all black clothing and had his hood up. The stolen green handbag contained a white wallet with a small amount of sterling cash and a Lloyds bank card, Samsung earpods, an Apple laptop, an Apple iPhone and a VR headset. There are appeals to anybody who observed the cyclist to get in touch with Gardaí. If you travel along that route, the Ocht Road Muff, between 9pm and 10pm with a dash cam or in the general area of Muff Village, please make the footage available to us. And should any of these types of items come for sale on a second-hand basis, please alert Gardaí Mochrana on 9320540 or the confidential line 1800 666 111.
Ireland's fishing industry is bracing for a catastrophic 2026 mackerel quota reduction of 70%. IFPO CEO E. O'Donnell is warning the move could collapse the sector and devastate major fishing communities. Mackerel is Ireland's most valuable catch, worth €94 million in exports to top markets in Europe and Asia. The decision has been taken as the ICES has found mackerel stocks are below safe biological limits. Mr. O'Donnell says Europe needs to stand up and take accountability for the state of the fishing industry.
Yes, it's basically our worst fears. The stock advice this year is recommending a cut of 71% in 1 year for the mackerel quotas, which is a major, major issue for particularly Killybegs and its pelagic fishing fleet.
How did it come to this point?
Well, we have forecast the situation. Basically, we have a problem with other members, not member states, other coastal states that have persistently overfished the quota, overfished the scientific advice. And this has led to a situation where the stock itself is now in decline. It needs to be preserved. It needs to be sustained. But Ireland is the main quota holder on this shared stock of mackerel. And with a quota cut such as this, we pay the highest price.
Was there nobody that could have stepped in there to put an end to it so it didn't reach this severity?
Well, unfortunately for Ireland, the negotiations or the competence to negotiate on behalf of Ireland and the quotas and the sharing of the stocks lies with Europe. Europe needs to take account of this. Europe needs to put trade measures in place to counter the situation where other states, other coastal states, are overfishing our shared stocks.
A man in his 30s continues to be questioned by Gardaí this evening in connection with the deaths of three people in County Louth. 54-year-old Mark O'Connor, his wife 56-year-old Louise O'Connor and their 27-year-old son Evan died violently in their home near the village of Talenstown yesterday morning. Gardaí are not looking for anyone else in connection with the investigation, but they're appealing for anyone with information to come forward. Superintendent Andrew Waters says the O'Connors were an integral part of their local community.
A family liaison officer has been assigned to support
the O'Connor family. And Garda Síochána O'Connor will keep the family informed of the ongoing investigation, and we will support them in every way possible as they come to terms with this terrible tragedy.
Concern that Donegal Town Courthouse will remain closed permanently has been raised in the Shannon. Health and safety concerns has led to the building's closure. From tomorrow, court sittings will be held in Ballyshannon in the interim, while a temporary base is sought in Donegal Town. Senator Manus Boyle stressed the importance of keeping court sittings in the town. Junior Minister Colin Brophy says a survey of the building will be undertaken and that will determine the next steps.
This issue is not about infrastructure, it's about maintaining the presence of justice in our community and respecting the heritage of Donegal Town.
The Minister is advised that the OPW has organised for a full building condition survey to be carried out, including a mechanical and electrical condition survey. The OPW is awaiting a timeline and costings for this survey. The outcome of that survey will inform the next steps in relation to the courthouse in Donegal. The regional office intends to explore whether there are any suitable temporary values within Donegal Town.
No matter what happens, we have to keep the court in Donegal Town. It's been there a long time. It adds to the town. It really does. With barristers coming and coffee shops and everything like that. And I mean, Donegal Town has lost so much this last year with the ATP support centre being moved to Letterkenny. It's a matter of utmost priority that we keep this courthouse in Donegal. I know that structurally the roof might need to be redone and get the other works done, electrical works, but it's a matter of utmost importance that we keep the courthouse in Donegal. The people of Donegal Town and people of South West Donegal want our building refurbished, reopened and kept in Donegal Town.
Thank you. I know you have raised this a very important issue and you've made your views very clear to me here today, and I will make sure that they are passed and directly heard by Minister O'Callaghan on the importance of maintaining it in Donegal. The Minister has indicated that the court services initially are looking at a move to Ballyshannon on a temporary basis. I will, as I said in my earlier contribution, point out that the importance of trying to look for a suitable venue in Donegal Town.
A multi-agency operation to combat environmental and wildlife crime was recently conducted in Donegal. Inland Fisheries Ireland carried out inspections of refrigerated and other vehicles at a checkpoint in a bid to detect any illegal nets or fish possessed in breach of fisheries regulations or bylaws. Other agencies involved were in Garda Síochána, Donegal County Council, the Lochs Agency, Revenue, the Department of Social Protection, Transfrontier Shipping and National Parks and Wildlife Service. Donegal County Council has backed a motion for a comprehensive audit of all local quarries proposed by Councillor Joy Beard. The audit will be conducted by the National Building Control and Market Surveillance Office in collaboration with the Geological Survey of Ireland. The move is in response to research confirming pyrrhotite and framboidal pyrite as primary causes of concrete failure in Ireland. Councillor Beard says the goal is to restore confidence in the supply chain, not punish the industry. An audit was carried out a number of years ago. However, Councillor Beard says it has quickly become outdated.
The motion I put before the council yesterday is about, you know, making sure materials going into our homes today are safe and durable. There was a market surveillance audit of Donegal Quarries, which was published in 2022, Donna Marie. And it looked at 17 operators in the county, but the testing was limited. In fact, only three quarries had aggregate properly tested in the lab. The rest were mostly checked on paperwork. We're still, that audit admitted that deleterious materials like pyrrhotite were outside of its scope. Yet, as we know now from government-funded scientific research, that pyrrhotite and framboidal pyrite are the main cause of concern for the failure in our internal sulfate attack. That's what's happening to the concrete here in Donegal and beyond. You know, on top of that, I suppose the results were anonymised. Quarries were given ID numbers, so the public does not even know what quarries were tested. You know, so I think that lack of transparency isn't acceptable.
Letterkenny University Hospital is the second most overcrowded hospital in the country today. 40 admitted patients were on a trolley at the hospital this morning. 16 of them are waiting in the emergency department and 24 on wards elsewhere in the hospital. At Sligo University Hospital, 29 people were without a bed. 484 admitted patients were waiting for beds at hospitals across the country today, according to the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation. Meanwhile, Letterkenny University Hospital paid out over €88,500 on debt collector fees between 2013 and 2022. Information released to Inchi leader Pádraig Tobin shows that the money was spent in a bid to chase up unpaid patient fees. Throughout the 10-year period, the largest amount, €17,857, was paid out in 2018, with just €339 spent in 2021. A 27-year-old woman has been sentenced today for fraud against a medical practice in Limavady. She was found to have defrauded four GP partners who owned the practice out of approximately £63,000. Donald Kavanagh has more.
27-year-old Shanine Cutter from the Grey Steel area, who pleaded guilty earlier in the case, was today handed a 20-month custodial sentence suspended for 3 years for 13 counts of fraud by abuse of position, making articles for use in fraud, fraud by false representation and forgery. She's also ordered to pay a £15,000 compensation order over 3 years. Ms Cutter was employed as a temporary reception manager in the GP practice on Scroggy Road and defrauded the four GP partners who owned the practice out of approximately £63,000 between February and May 2023. Detective Inspector Lavery says this case demonstrates how positions of trust can be abused. The loss is said to not only have had an impact on the individual GPs, but additionally on the medical service they provide.
Investigations are continuing after an abandoned mobile home was set on fire in the St Johnston area in recent days. The blaze broke out at around 8:30 p.m. on Friday. Anyone with information, including dashcam footage, is being urged to contact Gardaí.
Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with athletics, an Irish sprinter, Orla Comerford, has become a double world champion at the World Para-Athletic Championships. The 28-year-old from Dublin won the T13 200 metres final in a time of 24.71 seconds. It comes just 2 days after she also claimed gold in the 100 metres event in New Delhi. Team Ireland has now bagged 3 medals at the event. Moving on to soccer, and there's 3 Premier League clubs involved in tonight's league phase action in the Champions League. Liverpool, they're away to Galatasaray. Bodo Glimt, they host Tottenham Hotspur. And Chelsea face Jose Mourinho's Benfica at Stamford Bridge. All those 3 matches get underway at 8 o'clock. Well, Liverpool boss Arne Slot says that they need to look at the way they're conceding goals. His team head to Turkey, having let in more than twice the amount they had at this stage last season. But Slot says giving away free kicks and corners have been an issue recently.
That was one of our main strengths last season, that we hardly conceded from set pieces. So we have to go back to that. We haven't changed our setup. We haven't changed anything. So we have to prove in the upcoming weeks and months that we were maybe a bit unlucky in conceding some set pieces.
Tottenham manager Thomas Frank says his players can't take Bodo Glimt for granted. Tonight, they came through qualifying to become the first Norwegian side in 18 years to reach the Champions League proper. The clubs met in the Europa League last season, with Spurs winning both matches. Frank has a lot of respect for tonight's opponents.
I think they are a fantastic team. I think their club is fantastic. I think the story is unique in many ways. I'm pretty sure that the whole Europe know about Bodø, because I think it's a little bit of a fairy tale.
Meanwhile, former Chelsea boss Jose Mourinho has given his backing to current head coach Enzo Maresca to bring success back to the club. The 3-time Premier League winner's current team Benfica will be at Stamford Bridge in the group stage of the Champions League later on at 8 o'clock kickoff. Maresca has come under scrutiny after 3 defeats in 4 games, but Mourinho feels they're going in the right direction after clinching the Conference League and the Club World Cup.
It looked like Chelsea lost her identity as a club, but what happened in the last season put things back on track. I think they gave trust to Enzo. He brought his ideas. He fitted well with the philosophy they want to give to the club.
Elsewhere at the same time, Inter there at home to Slavia Prague. Bayern Munich travel to Paphos. Atletico play Eintracht Frankfurt, and Marseille, they go up against Ajax. At 5:45, Atlanta take on Club Bruges, and Kairat of Kazakhstan, they host Real Madrid. There's 8 ties in the Championship cross-channel this evening, with leaders Middlesbrough against hosting Stoke among those ties. And in the Northern Ireland League Cup tonight, Linfield, they play Queen's University. That one kicks off at 7:45. In other news, Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley believes the club's in Conference League action could inject much-needed positivity into Irish football. The Hoops begin their league phase campaign away to Sparta Prague on Thursday, while Shelbourne, they host Swedish side Häcken. In other news, cross-channel, Tyler Malacia will return to first-team training with Manchester United. The Dutch left-back has been part of a group of players the club felt were no longer in their plans, along with Marcus Rashford, Alejandro Garnacho, Jadon Sancho and Antony. Malacia, who has been training with the under-21s, joined in 2022, becoming the first signing of former boss Erik ten Hag. And William Saliba has stated that Arsenal have to win titles, as the club confirmed his contract extension today. The French international defender's contract was due to expire in 2027, but it's understood that it's been extended to 2030. Saliba has described manager Mikel Arteta as the perfect coach for him. In horse racing, Donegal jockeys Oisin Orr and Dylan Brown McMonagall are both back in action today. Both won on Joseph O'Brien trained mounts yesterday, with Orr winning at Hamilton and McMonagall at Down Royal. Orr has a number of rides in Newcastle this evening, while McMonagall, he is in Cork, and where he had another winner today in the 2.45 Irish Stallion Farms EBF Fillies Handicap. He steered 9-1 shot Winter's Breath to victory. In rugby, Munster have offered an injury update ahead of their URC clash with Cardiff at Thomond Park on Saturday evening. The province have revealed that starting out half JJ Hanran failed a HIA in their win at the Scarlets at the weekend. He'll follow return to play protocols. That could pave the way for Jack Crowley to take the number 10 jersey for round two. Niall Scannell also went under a HIA, which he passed, meaning the hooker has been cleared to train this week. Finally, for this evening in tennis, Carlos Alcaraz has won another tennis title, this time the Japan Open, after a comfortable victory over Taylor Fritz in the final. The world number one got past the American second seed in straight sets in Tokyo. Alcaraz is the fourth male player in history to reach 9 successive ATP level finals. That's your sport for this evening. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, there's calls for the National Parks and Wildlife Service to take immediate steps to fully reopen Glenveagh Castle. The castle is currently closed to tours every Monday and Friday due to staff shortages. It's understood there are no plans to review this. Councillor John Hamish O'Farrey believes much more could be done to ensure the full-time operation of Glenveagh Castle.
Well, you think they would have a contingency plan. Everything has a plan B or a plan C, but at this stage there doesn't seem to be a plan B, which is ludicrous in my opinion. If it's recruitment, I mean, there's plenty of money awash in the country with money at the moment. To see Glenveagh National Park being closed for 2 days is absolutely ridiculous.
The Donegal Women's Centre provided a record level of support in the county last year. According to the organisation's annual report, 344 women attended counselling and physiotherapy sessions during 2024, equating to over 3,400 hours of one-to-one counselling. In addition, the centre's women's health and family planning clinics recorded a significant engagement with 1,374 appointments attended. Mary Herlihy, manager Donegal Women's Centre, anticipates demand for their services will increase.
Already this year, we are slightly up on last year to date for the first half of the year, and we can only see this continuing to grow as we, I suppose, engage with bigger populations of women, the awareness around counselling and trauma psychotherapy for women who have or are currently experiencing domestic abuse.
Weather now, cloudy with outbreaks of rain or drizzle, mist and hill fog. The rain will turn more persistent this evening with highest temperatures of 14 to 16 degrees. The closing headlines this evening, a row broke out in the Dáil earlier between Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty and the Taoiseach over plans for a new bike shed at the National Maternity Hospital. Sinn Féin is calling for the plans to be scrapped. Attempts are ongoing to trace a cyclist who snatched a handbag from a woman in Meath. She was waiting at a bus stop on Wednesday evening last on the Ox Road at the time. Concern that Donegal Town Courthouse will remain closed permanently has been raised in the Shannon today. Health and safety concerns has led to the building's closure. And as you just heard, the Donegal Women's Centre provided a record level of support in the county last year. According to the organisation's annual report, 344 women attended counselling and physiotherapy sessions during 2024, equating to over 3,400 hours of one-to-one counselling. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of Remain Evening News on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 30th of September. The death has taken place of Kevin McCrossan, Hillcrest Nursing Home, Letterkenny, formerly of Bunlan, Milford. Reposing at Eternal Light Funeral Home, Carnamugga, Letterkenny, tomorrow from 4pm until 7pm. Removal at 7 to St Peter's Church, Milford, arriving at 7:30 for prayers and to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11, followed by burial in Milford Cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Hillcrest Nursing Residents Comfort Fund and the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors. The death has taken place of Jean McGinley, name Murray, 86 Laurel Drive, Strabane, formerly of Ivish Road, Strabane, reposing at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday at 12 noon for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of John McDade, 9 Liz Owen Green, Buncrana. A private wake for family is being held at McLaughlin's Funeral Home, Main Street, Buncrana, this evening until 7 o'clock. Remains reposing at St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, tomorrow from 4:30 until 8pm. Requiem Mass will be celebrated there on Thursday morning at 10, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Margaret McAteer, Naif Reel, Joe Beg Fanad. Margaret's remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there at 11:30 on Thursday morning, arriving in St Mary's Church, Fanavalti, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary nightly at 9. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Tamney Patient Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the McAteer Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place in Slough, England, of John Joe Coyle, Glasha Guidor. His remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, tomorrow afternoon from 4 until Rosary at 8. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 11 in Chock Fubble Columkill, Knockfulla. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the church webcam. The death has taken place of Don Daniel Carroll, Sesha O'Neill, Ballybuffet. Remains reposing at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill, at 11. Interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish YouTube channel. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 2 Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Philip Brogan, Balladurg, Mountain Top, Letterkenny. Philip's remains are reposing at his late residence until 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow from 11am to 10pm. Rosary nightly at 9. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:15, going to St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Colm Devine, 52 Ballycolman Road, Strabane. Remains reposing at the family home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Melmount. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Those attending the wake are advised to use St Mary's Church Melmount car park for parking. And the death of Stickham Place at Brentwood Manor Nursing Home convoy of Gerald Moore. His remains are reposing at his sister Yvonne and her husband Billy Smith's home at Churchtown Carrigans until 10 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock service of thanksgiving in All Saints Parish Church, Newton Cunningham, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the staff of Brentwood Manor Nursing Home, care of Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.